All right. And we have Jesus, the Bible says in verse 44, being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. I don't think we can even imagine the agony of our Lord Jesus. He said, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. That which all history really is about to take place. Jesus is going to die for the sins of those that he loves. He's going to die for mankind. And he goes through something we can't imagine. Now, we can imagine agony. We can imagine those nights where darkness surrounds us. We can imagine those times when it looks absolutely impossible. And I can only imagine that Jesus being in an agony, he's in an agony so much that one of the most amazing things is the Bible says that his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. That is our Lord Jesus in having perfect agony, something we certainly cannot have, but having perfect agony, literally, he was so absorbed with the agony of the cross and all that was involved in it. I mean, his sweat was like drops of blood. And literally, he sweat blood. And so, the agony of prayer, and many of us have gone to the Lord at times where we've been in agony. And again, don't think because you're not sweating blood that you're not agonizing over a situation, because we do agonize often. I take you to the book of Psalms, Psalm 77, and then we'll have a word of prayer. And I want to show you David, because obviously the Lord Jesus is our perfect example, but David is certainly one who suffered a lot of agonizing times, I believe, where he went to the Lord in prayer and he agonized. And so the psalmist here, it talks about this agony, I believe, in Psalm 77, and we'll look at verses 1 to 9. And he talks about it and talks about the agony, the darkness, the song in the night he talks about here. And that's really what I want to talk about, is how it needs to end up. The agony needs to end up in praise. God wants to hear us sing. God wants to hear us praise him. God wants to hear that we trust him. God wants to hear, God, you're in control. You've got it under control. You know my problem. You know what's going on. God wants to hear. Now, agony, the agony of prayer. There is absolutely nothing wrong with pouring our heart out to God. There's nothing wrong with telling God anything and everything that is on our hearts. We should do that. That is agonizing. And for many, that's middle of the night kind of praying. It doesn't have to be middle of the night. It could be middle of the day. It could be any time. But it is an agonizing. It is a begging God for help. It is a time where you recognize, you know that God is the only way. But it needs to always, it needs to have within it that praise to God. God, no matter what. No matter what happens, you are God. You are in control of my life. And so I want to talk to you about that from Psalm 77. Again, thinking of Jesus agonizing for us, agonizing for what he would do for us, agonizing for just all that he was going through and the hatred that he was experiencing. Hell was trying to destroy him and stop the purpose, the holy, righteous purpose. And he agonized in a way that was, but you agonize too. We agonize in prayer. Father, bless now the preaching of thy word and speak to our hearts and help us, Lord, to always end up singing, praising, thanking, rejoicing over our God as we pray. And though we agonize and though often we start out perhaps complaining, we maybe start out asking you why. We start out and maybe we're not the most pleasant people in the world, but God, help us to end up praising your perfect name. And bless now, speak to our hearts, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We've talked about the attitude of prayer, the asking of prayer, abbreviated prayers, anxious prayers, answers to prayer, the again of prayer, accomplishments of prayer, and we close with the agony of prayer. Psalm 77, I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. And again, I cried unto God. It is not a casual kind of prayer for a meal, for example. It's not a casual, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. No, this is, I'm crying out. I'm agonizing in prayer. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. He's talking about trouble. My sore ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I mean, again, agony of prayer. You know, God, sometimes things will happen and God immediately, his arms are around us and wow, you know, I know this is okay. But there's issues. There's times where we agonize in prayer and literally our soul refuses to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed, Selah. Has that ever been you? You know, I remembered God and was troubled. Wait a minute, preacher. When we remember God, we're supposed to have peace. Well, there's sometimes that you're troubled. You're troubled. Could be troubled because of sin. Could be troubled because of maybe just that. Why in the world am I so worked up over this thing instead of just trusting you, God? But I remembered God and was troubled. I complained. By the way, when you complain to God, that's okay. It's okay. He's the only one that can do anything about most things. Especially things in our lives. I mean, when we complain to God, again, the key is what happens as we talk to our God and we agonize with him. Our spirit, you ever feel overwhelmed in your spirit? Yeah, yeah. Thou holdest mine eyes waking, I am so troubled that I cannot speak. You know, in other words, you can't sleep, you can't speak, you're so bent out of shape, things are bad, you're needing to talk to God. I've considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favorable no more? You ever been there? You ever have that experience? God, you used to do this and you did this. And God, where are you? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? You ever had those times of prayer? 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the afternoon? You ever had those times of prayer? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Have you ever prayed that kind of prayer? Jesus is praying a prayer of agony in Luke 22. The Bible says he's in an agony. I cannot imagine what he's going through. And the closest thing I can come is simply to read what the psalmist said and to recognize that David here is going through a very tough time, a time of sorrow, a time of difficulty. And as many of the psalms, if you study the psalms, you go to them and they will start sorrowful, but they'll end rejoicing. And what a way for you and I to have our relationship with our God, because trouble does come to us, sorrow does come to us, problems do come, and many times we feel surrounded, but we simply need to understand that that's when it's time for us to sing. It's time in our agony to God where we sing, where we praise him, where we rejoice in him, where we let him have control. Study the Psalms. You'll find many times they start out with trouble. They end with rejoicing. And you know, a psalm is a song. And I think that's the truth that I think about, because I think of David out taking care of the sheep. And I see him in my mind out taking care of the sheep. And he certainly has enough trouble. You know, at different times when the Psalms are written, he has all kinds of trouble. I think about just being a shepherd out there as a young shepherd. I think about him knowing there's a lion loose. I think about him knowing there are wolves after the sheep. I think about him knowing that there is trouble all around him. I think about him knowing that he's responsible for those sheep. And if a sheep falls off a cliff, that's his responsibility. And I think about all the things that are going on, and he's out there, and there's nobody to talk to. He can't get on his phone, and he can't Google sheep. You know, he can't, you know, get on and call somebody to help him. It's just the stars of the sky, or maybe the lightning bolts if it's storming, and it's him and his God. And how many times would he sing and sing and sing? That's what the Psalms are. They're songs. And he would sing. And he would sing. Sometimes he would sing to calm the sheep down. Maybe there was an animal prowling around the sheepfold, and the sheep would detect that, and the shepherd would sing. And as he sang, I am sure, as he said here, I call to remembrance my song in the night. He would sing in the middle of the night when it was the hardest time, I think, for a shepherd to watch sheep. He would sing, and pretty soon the animals would calm down. Pretty soon, he'd find himself calming down. Pretty soon, he'd find that everything was all right, and he would sing. But I think not only when physically it was night, I think during trouble, David would sing. But he'd be in agony when he went to the Lord, and it would start out in agony, the night of trouble. He would sing, and he said, I remember my song in the night. I wonder what he was thinking about when he said that. I've often wondered, was he talking about in the middle of a nighttime? And again, we're not talking about a place that had streetlights everywhere. We're talking about out in the middle of a pasture somewhere, and if the moon was out, then you had some light, but if storm clouds covered it, it's pitch black, and he's watching the sheep. There's a lion out, maybe a bear. Wolves are out there. And David, you know, he says, I call to remembrance my song in the night. Was he thinking about that, or was he thinking about when Saul was after him, trying to kill him? What was he thinking of? I don't know. I just know this. I know he went from sorrow to joy. I know he went from complaint to praise. When I've sung in the choir before at different times and different places, and that, or maybe had a solo or something like that, and I've heard people say, you know, I just don't feel like singing and all that. That's when you should sing. That's when you should sing. Well, but I just don't feel like it. That's when you need to. That's when you need to. That's when God wants to hear us sing. Honestly, let's be honest about this. Paul and Silas, there is no way in this world that is the reaction of the average Christian. They have just been arrested unjustly. They have been beaten unjustly. They are in prison unjustly. It's midnight, and they have no idea what's going to happen on the next day. And the Bible says they sing. Now that does not make a bit of sense unless you've read your Bible. And that is what God wants us to do. He wants to hear us sing. He wants to hear it himself, but he also wants you to sing for you. And again, I'm talking about the right kind of song. A song of joy, a song of rejoicing, a song of praise, and ending up praising the Lord Jesus Christ. It is, you know, well, things aren't going right. I don't feel like singing. But that's exactly what you need to do. That is exactly. It is that time of agonizing prayer. Oh, God, I do not understand. God, I don't know. God, I need you. And it's a time of agonizing. It can't end like that. How's it got to end? It's got to end, God, I trust you. And since I trust you, I can praise you and sing. Let me give you three things, and then we'll be done. Number one is a time of trouble. A time of trouble. Job 5 and verse 7, yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. I preached at a teen camp this last beginning of the summer, and they had a fire. You know, you have to have a fire if you're going to have camp. And Fires and I, because of the smoke, because of my asthma, we don't get along too well, but we sat out there, and mosquitoes and I don't get along real well either, especially the new drone mosquitoes, but that's another story. And we're sitting around the fire, and you know, it always happens. Somebody, usually some junior high teenager, they grab a big log, you know, and they want to throw it on the fire, and boy, as soon as they do, poof, you know, sparks are going everywhere. That's exactly what Job's talking about. He said, just as sure as those sparks are going to fly upward, man's going to have trouble. Now that's us, folks. It is inevitable to happen. There's going to be trouble. That's what he's saying. He's saying every time you throw a log on the fire, sparks are going to fly up. It is going to happen. And the same thing is true about our lives. There is going to be trouble. David, he's in the pasture. He has, as a shepherd, he has trouble every night. I mean, if it's not a sheep wandering off, then he hears the wolves howling. Or he's heard a report there's a lion in the area. Or he knows that there's a bear out there. I mean, if it's not one thing, it's another thing. And then it could be storming. No, it could be snowing. It could be any number of things. And so I think about that. But then, when I think of those times of trouble, I also think about the night of Saul hating him. Can you honestly think about that story of Saul hating David? David had to wander over and over and over. I'm talking about 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning. He had to watch the sheep, and the sheep finally are calmed down, and everything's okay. And he had to wonder, why in the world does Saul hate me? He had to wonder, what is it that is driving Saul? Now, we know what it was because we've read our Bibles. It was an evil spirit. And it started with jealousy and envy. And that is why. But David didn't know. He could not figure it out. You ever been in agony wondering, why? Why do these people, or why does this person, why? Could be somebody that is a loved one. Could be a mom, a dad. And you just say, I just don't get it. And listen to me. You can cry out to God. David did. And he cried out to God. And he talked to God about that over and over and over and over again. And he ended up praising God. There was a night of Saul. There was a night of battle. Happened often. Battle. There was a night of battle the day before the battle. There was a night of sin. David went through it with Uriah being killed, with a little baby dying, with his daughter Tamar being raped, with Amnon being killed, and Absalom dying, and all those different things. You have to understand, he knew all about the night. He knew darkness. He knew being surrounded. He knew exactly what it was. He knew the fear. He knew the loneliness of that darkness. He knew the sorrow. He knew the pain of all those things. Now, our Lord Jesus, when he was in agony, he sweat drops of blood. I've been in agony in prayer before and never sweat drops of blood, but I certainly can identify with David here in Psalm 77. I think you probably can too. The darkness where you don't know what is going to happen next. Jesus, as he hung on the cross, the Bible says darkness covered the earth. The sins of mankind, my sin, your sin, was placed on Jesus as he hung on the cross to die for us. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. All of that is on him. He knew that was coming. You talk about night. Romans 13:12 says this, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. And you have to understand, that we can have darkness surrounding us, but we can praise our God and we can turn that darkness into light. That's what David did. That's what David did out in the pasture watching the sheep. That's what David did when trials and problems came in his life. David, he started out like he said. He started out, my soul refuses to be comforted. That's the way we are sometimes. I'm miserable being miserable, and I want to be miserable. God says, I'll help you. Nope. But as we are in agony, let's take some time out and sing and praise him and tell him how wonderful he is. Amen. David in the pasture, he feared for his life, literally, but he would be lonely. He would have sorrow. He would have pain. He would have all those things. You know, one of the blessed things about heaven is the Bible says in Revelation 21, 22, there's no night there. There's never darkness. There's never these periods of gloom ever in heaven. And so your time of trouble, okay, we have them. Bible's clear. We're all going to, you say, you know what? I'm a teenager. I've never had any trouble. Praise the Lord. But you will. You will. Everybody does. Because man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward, a time of trouble. Number two, though, we see a tune of triumph. A tune of triumph. Because he talks about it. I call to remembrance my song in the night. A tune of triumph. Though trouble was all around, David sang the Psalms. Though darkness was all around, and lions and tigers and bears, you were just waiting on me to do that, right? And they were all over the place. And I mean, honestly, I can't even imagine being a shepherd. We always think about shepherds being some skinny little weak kind of a guy. He had to be a very courageous man, honestly, to be watching sheep when the sheep represent the meal for all those nasty animals out there. You know, and in my mind, I think there was plenty to be afraid of. But it's interesting because the more David remembered his song in the night, I don't know about you. Do you have a song? You know, I have a song. I have songs for different things. I have songs that automatically I start singing when there's trouble. I have songs that I sing when there might be something else going on that I don't want to hear. I don't want to pay attention to if I'm in a store or something like that. And I have songs like that. David, something came to mind here. He said, I call to remembrance my song in the night. He said, I remember when the wolves were circling the sheep. I remember when the lion was roaring outside the sheepfold. I remember when the bear was approaching. And by the way, he killed a bear and a lion. He said, I remember those times, and I remember singing. I remember in the dark. I remember when it stormed. I remember when the lightning flashed. I remember when the wind blew. I remember when Saul hated me. I remember when I was going to go to battle. I remember thinking I might die, but I also remember a song. I remember those songs, my song in the night. And the more he sang, verse 10, I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. He said, okay, this is my infirmity. Okay, God, this is where I am, but I'll remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I'll remember the works of the Lord. Surely I'll remember thy wonders of old. I'll meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Do you see things are getting better, aren't they? Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doeth wonders. Isn't that good? I love it. What is that? Well, I remembered my song in the night. And boy, you know what that did? That changed my whole attitude. That changed my whole outlook. That changed everything. All of a sudden, he goes from, God, you can't even help me, and I don't want your comfort, and I'm just going to complain about this. He goes from that to, you're God, you can do anything. You are God. Verse 15, thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. The waters saw thee, O God. The waters saw thee. They were afraid. The depths also were troubled. The clouds poured out water. The sky sent out a sound. Thine arrows also went abroad. The voice of thy thunder was in the heaven. The lightnings lightened the world. The earth trembled and shook. Thy way is in the sea, and the path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. Thou ledest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. He said, God, you are great. Now listen, an agony of prayer, we all should. We all should. Have you ever been in agony and you kind of look down, you're sweating, you know you're sweating, and you kind of hope there'd be blood? You know, oh, Jesus, that's the way you... Well, you know, that's Jesus. But we should have those times where we pour our hearts out to God. And I mean, we just pour it out to God and we say anything and everything that is on our heart and in our heart. And God, I've got some trouble, but there is a tune of triumph that is a praise to God. That is, God, you are great. You can do anything. And the more David sang, the more his outlook changed. The Bible says, and I've preached on it before, he inhabiteth the praises of Israel. And you know what? You want God to do something, you need to praise him. We need to praise him. Let's look at some verses real quick. Psalm 81, verse 1. Psalm 81, verse 1. Sing aloud unto God our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. Again, this is a tune of triumph. Amen. Make a joyful noise, the Bible says. Psalm 95 and verse 1. Psalm 95 and verse 1. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise. Isn't that good? You don't have to hit every note right. You don't have to do the timing perfect. All you have to do is make a joyful noise, the Bible says, to the rock of our salvation. Go to Ephesians chapter 5, Ephesians 5 and verse 19, Ephesians 5, 19. The Bible says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And Brother Merrill talked about this, Acts 16, verse 25. Paul told us that's what we ought to do, but here's our story that I made reference to and sang about a little while ago, Acts 16 and verse 25. Paul and Silas are in prison. They've been beaten at midnight. Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. You got to wonder what the prisoners are thinking. Well, one of them, the jailkeeper, or not one of the prisoners, but the jailkeeper, one that heard him, got saved in his house. Why? Because God's people had a song, and they had a song that was in their heart. And though their flesh did not want to sing that song as they agonized before their God, God, we don't understand, in their heart, there rings a melody, and it came out. I've often wondered if Paul and Silas could even sing. Did they harmonize? Did they barely get the song? Can you imagine? In my mind, I wonder what song, Brother Hawkins, what were they singing? Was it one of the Psalms? Were they singing, "The Lord is my shepherd, I'll walk with him all way"? And then Silas came in and they sang around, you know. I can't do both with one mouth. It's not possible. Boy, what a powerful thought that Paul and Silas sang. Bless you. In agony, that's when we need to sing. That's when God wants to hear us sing. Okay, he wants to hear us sing when it's a sunny day. He wants to hear us sing when we have money in the bank. He wants to hear us sing when our health is good. He wants to hear us sing when everything's good and everybody likes us and everybody's happy. He wants to hear us sing. But it's when it's storming and you're in the middle of the sea and you're about to sink and you have no idea. That's when he wants to hear us sing. It's when you agonize. God, I don't understand. It doesn't make sense. God, you're God, though. And as you agonize in prayer, you all of a sudden remember Jesus in the garden, and he went through something. I promise you, none of us will ever go through what Jesus went through. None of us ever will. Is that why he sweat drops of blood? Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." Singing to who? To the Lord. Amen. We often think, you know, this is the only time we sing. I hope you sing all the time. I hope you sing at home. I hope you sing in the shower. I hope you sing in your household. I hope you sing maybe before you eat a meal. I hope you sing when you're driving your car down the road. I hope you say, well, yeah, but I just don't hit all the notes. You don't even have to know all the songs. You just sing. You've heard me tell, but right after I got saved, I was working at RCA, and I worked a job that was basically, it was kind of a assembly line kind of a thing, and it was pretty boring. But I was excited about church and excited about God, and I still can remember sitting there painting this little doodad on picture tube panels, and I had to, you know, the thing would brrr, and that thing was in front of me, and then I painted that little doodad, and then brrr, and there was another one, and I painted that, and that was pretty much 8 hours. You know, you got a break every now and then. But I started singing. And I didn't know the songs. I was a new Christian. I didn't know. I knew some songs, but I didn't think I ought to sing them. And so I just started singing and singing and singing. And I messed up song after song after song. And I sang, you know, holy, 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 leaning on the everlasting arms and blessed assurance. And I mixed them all up and just sang. And pretty soon the people at work called me preacher. And I said, why do you call me preacher? And they said, because you'll never make it singing. And I understood then. But Psalm 100, it, you know, here's something, okay? Psalm 100, what a powerful psalm. I mean, as you're agonizing in prayer and you can't see straight and the tears are rolling down your cheeks and you just can't even imagine how it's going to work out and your eyes are watering and you're tearing and you're sobbing and your nose is running and, you know, it's just nasty and you're agonizing to God. And praise the Lord, that's what we ought to do, amen? That would save so much trouble if we just go to our God and we'd agonize in prayer and we'd spend that time with Him no matter what time of day it is. But I'll be honest with you, it is very, very hard to stay in that frame of mind if you go to Psalm 100 and read it. Or if you know it and you recite it. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and His truth endureth to all generations. You know, it's hard to stay down as you sing about the Lord. God wants to hear you sing. He loves to hear you sing. Why? Because it's praise to Him. Why? Because He inhabits praise. He loves to hear our praise. And He loves it on good days, but He really loves it when you're in agony and agonizing. Oh God, I've got to have You. But I'm going to trust You. Amen. That tune of triumph, do you have one? When's the last time you sang it? You see, the Bible says we are more than conquerors. I don't know how many times. Boy, it's been some trial, some thing, whatever. And immediately I go back to my days in Bible college, and I remember we sang, that was a song of the month or something. We are more than conquerors. That was one that I sang painting little doodad. We are more than conquerors. Holy, holy, holy. Leaning on the everlasting arms is the way to go because of amazing grace. You say, preacher, that's not a song. Sure it is. He doesn't care. I'm going to just praise Him. Amen. But what about that? We are more than conquerors. My wife, she wanted to be a blessing this morning, and she read the paper. And I don't read the Sunday paper till after Sunday. But anyway, she was telling me about one town. I don't remember if it was Onstead, Hudson, or Morenci. Anyway, they got a $4,500 grant from the state of Michigan to have a Muslim history and religion teaching thing there in Morenci. And you know what Muslims are doing to Christians all across the world. It is exactly what's going on. I had somebody else say, they're killing Christians. Yeah. And they're not far. But again, we are more than conquerors. And so I have a tune of triumph. And then the last thing, number three, is a testimony of trust. A testimony of trust. There is a time of trouble. It's inevitable. It's going to happen. It is happening to many. There's a tune, though, of triumph. Do you have that tune? Do you have that tune today? But number three is a testimony of trust and what it's all about. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. It's impossible to please Him. I know. I'd like everything to always just go perfect. I would. You would too, right? Boy, I just want everything to go perfectly. I don't want to get up in the morning and all of a sudden there's this new ache. I don't know. It's been a few weeks ago. I noticed a thing on my arm, and I thought, huh, you know, wonder what that is. And you know, I'm a picker. I don't know if you are, but I know that has other meanings and stuff like that with junk and stuff. I'm not that, but anyway, I started messing with the thing, and I shouldn't have. And anyway, but then it got all hard and nasty and everything, and I'm thinking, why in the world? What are you doing? You know, now I didn't fret over it or anything like that, but it's just you know, God said to me, old skin. Yeah, that is old skin. That's what it is. We were at Long John Silver's the other day, and you know, didn't say, just placed our order for our fish, and oh, they have good fish, and placed the order, and I noticed the guy. I'm watching him ring it up, and he put seniors. I looked at him. I said, and he's just a young kid, and I said, how do you know? And he just looked at me, and I knew what he was thinking, which was actually kind of easy, I would think. But I said, how do you know? And well, sir, you know, they tell us, you know, we just need to always give the benefit of the doubt. I said, you're calling this giving it the benefit of the doubt? Well, you know what I mean. He said, we have people that get upset. Well, this guy next to me who had just gone through, this guy next to me, you know, he's kind of listening in too. And the guy said, well, you know, some seniors get upset when they don't get the senior citizen discount. So we always, if we think it might be, we always just give it automatically. I said, well, listen, I said, let me ask you, what's the age? He said, well, you know, people that are over 60. I said, I'm not over 60. The guy next to me said, I am. And he didn't get it. So it was a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun. But, you know, there's just stuff. It happens. And we, you know, it's so easy to sing when everything's good. But a testimony of trust is when you sing when things aren't so good. What are you saying? It's, I trust you, God. Because anybody can sing in the day. The best song is that song in the night. David in the pasture alone, in the quiet of the pasture, the sheep are all quiet. And God could hear him real well as he agonized about things in life that he could only tell God about. Some of you would do well to learn there's so much you can tell God about. You don't have to tell everybody else. There's just so much you can talk to God about. God can hear you. And obviously, you know, when it's quiet, you can think better. I can tell you, 2 o'clock in the morning, I think real well. There's nothing else going on. Even Brother Chase isn't calling me. That's amazing. I'm not getting text ring. Boop, however that text thing sounds. But, you know, it is such a wonderful, wonderful thing. It's so quiet. And the Bible says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You know, I want the will of God. So it's a time where I can thank God for all that he's done, because I can really think about it. I'm not looking at all the bad things that are going on. I can thank him for the good things. Paul and Silas don't know they're going to be free, but they're going to sing and they're about to be free. They're not going to be in jail anymore. Would you like to be free? Sing. Praise the Lord. Sing. Sing. In Ezra, the Bible talks about the foundation of the temple being built. The people sang. They sang. I remember years ago when we were talking about these stories when Brenda's dad went to be with the Lord. But we were talking about the story about how he used to do all kinds of weird things. I mean, he really did. He did some strange things. One time we were in a haunted house, we were told. And we're in this big old dark house, and it supposedly was haunted and everything. And then people are telling stories about all the things that happened upstairs. You know, and all this stuff happened upstairs, and it was a bad, bad thing. Well, then Brenda's dad, he gets this, you know, he gets this look in his eye Do you know anybody that gets that look in their eye? And he says, I'll tell you what. He said, I'm going to go upstairs and I'm going to put, I don't even remember what it was. I think he put a roll of toilet paper or something upstairs. He said, if you'll get this out of the bedroom drawer or the cedar chest or whatever it was where a body once was or something that had been said or a head or I don't know what it was. He said, if you'll go up there and get it without the lights on, he said, I'll give you some money. So literally, I mean, nobody's going to do it. All these kids are there. Brenda and I don't know. We hadn't been married very long. And he says this, and I'm trying to get her brother and sister. I'm saying, go ahead. It's no big deal. There's nothing to worry about. It's okay. Be trust God, you know, and all this kind of stuff. And so he starts. And this is so funny. We have pictures of this. He starts taping money on this deer head's nose. And he's taping money on. I mean, he starts out with a couple of dollars. He tapes them up there. Okay, here's what it is. You can have this money. And he's taping money. I don't know. He had like $10 to $15. And by then, you know, Brenda's sister, Pam, she says, all right, I'm going to do it. And I said, go get him. You can do it. And literally, she went upstairs. As she's going up the stairs, I am serious. She was probably 9 years old, 8 years old, something. She starts up the stairs. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. And we can hear her singing all the way upstairs. We can hear her voice getting softer and softer. She goes back. She's still singing, though. Still singing, coming down the stairs, still singing. Had the roll of toilet paper, got the money. And, you know, what was it that calmed her down? Singing. Just a simple, simple song of praise. Maybe you're in the night of sorrow. Maybe you feel like the lion is circling, about to devour you. We know what the Bible says. He seeks to devour us. Maybe you're in the darkness in your life. Maybe it has to do with your health. Maybe it has to do with other things in your life. You agonize in prayer. I'm telling you, God wants to hear you sing. That singing in the daytime, that's wonderful. When things are good, we should praise Him. We have testimony time. Very rarely do people, you don't think about giving a testimony when things are bad. You ever think, maybe that's the time you should? But I can tell you this, one thing is for sure, you should sing. You should sing the praises of God. Psalm 149:5, let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. It's interesting, he says, on their beds, because that's at night. It's almost like God knows those nighttime, that darkness, just seems like everything is against us. God wants to hear us sing. Let's bow our heads, please.